Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing here in our Mishnah the case of Nikev, when there is a hole in the Etrog. And on that we have Tani, Ula Bar Chanina or Ula Bar Chinina, Nikev Nechev Mifulash Bimashahu. If you have a hole that penetrates entirely through the Etrog from one end to the other end, then it is Pasul. According to Rashi, this is even in a case Velo chaser, even if it's not missing anything. In our Mishnah, we had that if it was nekev that wasn't missing anything, it was fine. But nikev v'chaser, if it had a nekev and it was missing something, that was problematic. So Rashi says over here, a nekev that goes all the way through, even though it's not missing anything, it is problematic. V'she'enu mifulash, and if it doesn't extend all the way through the etrog, again, even if it's not missing anything, if it's the size of a isar, the size of a coin, then it is problematic. So Rashi says that the case in the Mishnah where it's kasher, when you have a nekev, shlo chaser koshahu, that's only in a case where it does not penetrate all the way through the etrog, and where it's not the size of an isar. But if you have either of those conditions, then it is pasul, if it goes all the way through, or if it's the size of isar, even though it's missing nothing, it is problematic. There are Rishonim that argue in Rashi and say here that this is a case where it's missing as well, and the only reason that you have to be missing something over here and be mifulash is because we're talking about where it's only the missing from the external part of the etrog, but the basar, the internal part of the etrog, is not missing anything. But according to Rashi, the case here is when we're not missing anything, and these are additional psulim that apply to the etrog, even when it's not missing anything. Bayrova, no du be'etrog simanei trefa mahu. If the etrog comes up with some of these simanim that we find by a trefa, what is the din? Mar says, what's the question here? Inikalaf, if we're talking about where the skin is peeled away, Tanina, our Mishnah already mentioned this. This is the proof that Tosafot brought to the position of the Rabbeinu Chananel versus Rashi, that the Niklaf and our Mishnah should match with the Niklaf of Trefa. Rashi says when it's completely peeled off, it's fine, but when there's something left, it was no good. The Rabbeinu Chananel said the opposite, and Tosafot proved it from the fact that by Trefa, that's the case. And here you see the Gemara saying, in Niklaf, Tanina, we're talking about Niklaf, we already mentioned our Mishnah, which seems to equate between Trefa and Etrog. In Izdak, it's talking about crevice or crack. Tanina, also our Mishnah mentioned that was problematic. And that's similar to what we have by Trefot, that it is cracked all the way through, similar to what we find by the windpipe, that is entirely cracked, that it's missing one of the rings that is there. Nikev, Tanina, if you're talking about a hole or a puncture, we already learned this. Now, as Tosafot points out, this might actually be the opposite of trefot, which is that by a trefa, if you have a puncture, for instance, in the membrane of the brain, then it's trefa. Whereas here, by etrog, if you have a puncture like that, it would be fine, because the hole doesn't cause the problem, elim kein chaser koshu, unless it's missing something. By trefa, you don't have to be missing anything. The hole itself is problematic. Over here, by etrog, you have to actually be missing something, and Tosafot points out that is because the brain, the membrane, is the entirety of the film that is punctured. When it comes to the etrog is a large object, and the basar, the flesh of the etrog, continues all the way through, is considered to be one. When you have a hole that only penetrates part way, that hole is not considered to be the equivalent of a hole like the membrane of the brain. If it went all the way through, like Rashi says here, maybe it would be like that hole of the membrane. Even if it wasn't missing anything, it would be pasul. In that case, etrog would be just the opposite of the way it is by trefa, and that actually might support Rashi's interpretation of Niklaf then, because when the Gemara compares them, it's not comparing the din exactly, it's just saying that we have a similar din, even though the outcome might be different in these cases. Tosafot says maybe then we can compare it to the nekev by the heart, which is if you have a needle that goes into the heart, until it reaches the inner chambers into the hollow of the heart, it's not considered to be a problem or a trefa, which would be similar to the etrog over here, which is until the needle penetrates into the inner chambers. The inner chambers are where the seeds are held, then it would not be problematic. But if it does penetrate through to the inner seeds, then it would be problematic. And if it penetrates into that casing where the seeds are, it's the equivalent of having a needle that goes all the way through. Because those hadarim, those interior areas, are similar to the bronchi of the lungs, which we'll see in a second. So according to Tosafot, there's an additional way that the etrog could be pasul, which is that if the hole goes all the way through, if there's a hole with something missing, or if the penetration went into the chambers where the seeds are internally, that would also be problematic. And therefore he says now Nikev is equivalent to that by Trefa. Just like by the heart, if it penetrates into the inner chamber, it's problematic. So too over here, if it penetrates into the inner chamber where the seeds are contained, that is also problematic. His question relates to a din that we find by Trefot, which is Reya Shinishpechaki Kaiton. If you have a lung that is liquidy in the sense that it pours out like we would come out of a ladle, Sheira, that is fine. The Amarava, Vahu de Kaima Simponha. That's only if the bronchi are still intact. Halo Kaima Simponha. If the bronchi aren't intact, then it's a Trefa. So even though the material around the bronchi has deteriorated or decayed to the point where it's liquidy rather than solid, in the lungs it's still not a trefa as long as the bronchi are intact. So here, hachamai, by the etrog, what's the equivalent case? Dilma hatamu delo shalit ba avira. Over there, the lungs are an enclosed object. Since they're an enclosed object, then we assume that since the bronchi are intact, hadaru bario, it will heal and it will return to its normal state. Dava hocha. The Shaliba Vira, here by the Etrog, which is not encapsulated, it will decay, it will spoil. Odilma Loshna, or maybe it makes no difference, and here, even though there's somewhat of an exposure, it's not encapsulated inside of the body, it still would heal and go back as long as the Simfonot are intact. Now, what is the Simfonot for the Etrog? So that, Rashi says, are the Chadri Hazera, that is the encapsulation of the seeds internally inside of the etrog. And that's why Tosafot pointed out before that that puncture through to the halal of the zera is the equivalent of puncturing the heart into the inner chambers. Because this area of the simfonot, or the inner chamber where the seeds are kept, has a different status than the remainder of the etrog. That's what the Gemara is asking here. Is the inner chamber where the seeds are contained similar to the bronchi of the lungs? And therefore, if they're intact, then the etrog is fine. Or do we say no? That since they have different traits, meaning the lungs are internal organs, therefore they have a chance to heal, whereas the etrog is exposed to the elements, and it would not heal. Tashma, let's try to prove this from here. Etrog, tafuach, an etrog that is swollen, as Rashi over here translates tafuach, infla, or inflated. Saruach, it's rotten or spoiled. Kavush, it's pickled. Shaluk, it's boiled, heavily boiled. Kushi, we'll discuss what that is in a minute. Lavan, white. Umnumar, spotted. Pasul, all of those etrogim are problematic. Etrog kadur, an etrog that is round, circular, is pasul. Here, there are two different reasons given for why it is pasul. One possibility of why it is pasul is it's not hadar. It's not a beautiful etrog. It's not the normal way that an etrog grows. The other possibility is that it's not the species of an etrog. The fact that it's round already indicates that it's not in the same species as the etrog. Some people say that if you have a double etrog, two etrogim that grew together, then that's problematic. Etrog aboser. If you have an etrog the size of a boser, Rashi claims that that's the size of a pul halavan, a white bean, a white legume. Rabbi Kiva posel. Rabbi Kiva says it's problematic. Chachamim machshirim. And the Chachamim say that is fine. Now Rashi says that it's katan kapula lavan. Tosafot back on Lamed Aleph Amud Bet says that Rashi's interpretation here is very problematic because we have in our Mishnah the size of an etrog. In order to be considered a pri, there was a machloket whether it's a beitza or an egos. And over here, all of a sudden, we have a machloket about whether a boser is the size when it becomes a ripened fruit or not. So there seem to be dira between these two opinions. But Tosafot explains that they're talking about different things. And back on Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, he says, says that over here, it's a case where it's not going to grow anymore. Even though Rabbi Akiva there says if it's not the size of a boser, it's problematic. Hacha makshir begos o bekebeitza. Marketitle. Rabbi Akiva will agree that if it won't grow anymore, that an egos or a beitza is sufficient to consider the fruit to be totally ripe. Aval pachot mikan lo chashiv gemar pri. Below that is not considered gemar pri. Afal pishen sofoli gadel yoter. Even though it won't grow anymore. There's a minimum shiur for the fruit of the etrog, even though it won't grow beyond that point. It's a small etrog. There's certain fruits that will never come to a full maturation. But if this is their full maturation, then that is fine in terms of a kebetza or a genegos. But if it's a regular etrog that's going to go to a larger size, Rabbi Akiva will require the size of a boser. And Rabbi Tosafot over here says that a boser is certainly not the size of a bean, but something larger. A boser is the requirement by a grape. That's the size in order to be a pri. But for an etrog, which is a much bigger fruit, the boser will be something that is larger than that. It seems from Tosafot it'll even be larger than a kebetza. And he says, Odi dachain, afilu rabbonon de makshiri hotam, rabbonon over by us, who are makshir hotam over here by the case of Beit HaNegoz, pas lehocha, the bull make a pasui or by pachot mikan, the etrog haboser chashiv peret fe. Because an etrog haboser is considered much more to be a fruit. And that the rabbonon will agree that there is a threshold, meaning that a beitza or a egoz is the lower threshold, and you don't have to reach the level of a boser because that's much bigger, and they say that's not the requirement. So Tosafot says that the boser we're speaking on here has got to be larger than a kebetza, whereas Rashi is saying it's the size of a white legume. Gadobit fus, if he grew it inside of a form, as Rashi calls it over here, a forma. Paso kemin biria acheret, and he made it into a new creation. Paso, then it's problematic. Again, we'll discuss this more in detail later on in the daf. Tani miha, tafuach, saruach. Over here, the Braita mentions two problems here. One is something that is swollen, and one is saruach, something that is rotten. My lav, what's the difference between tafuach and saruach? So tafuach mi bachutz. Tafuach sounds like it's swollen on the outside, so it's identifiable as being rotten on the outside. And saruach is mi bifnim. Rotting means internally, it's not visible from the outside, but only on the inside. And that would be an indication that if it's rotten on the inside, it's problematic. Unlike the case of the simfonot by the reot, by the lungs. So Mar says, lo, idi v'idi mi bachutz. They're both external measurements. V'lo kasha. Ha tafach, afagav de lo sarach. This is where it's swollen, even though it didn't rot. Ha de sarach, afagav de lo tafach. Or the case where it's rotten or spoiled, even though it didn't swell. So they're independent problems, either the swelling or the rotting. Both of them are problematic when they are visible from the outside. But then we have no indication about the inside, and that's why it's a question whether we will compare the etrog to the case of the lungs. Now we go back, discuss the items in the Braita. Amamar, etrog hushi pasul. It says here in the Braita that an etrog hushi is pasul. Vahatanya. Don't we have a Braita that says kushi kasher, that it is okay? So Gemara says here, dome the kushi pasul. If it's similar to kushi, it's a pasul. Amrabai, kitna nami matnitan dome the kushi. And he says, therefore, when we have our Mishnah that says it's pasul, must be talking about a case where it's dome le kushi, it's similar to a kushi. Rav Amar, lokasha, halan haluhu. That's for them, and that's for us. So now, there are two ways to read this Gemara. The first one is according to Rashi. Rashi says that a kushi, or an etrog kushi, is an etrog that grew in a place called Kush, in the place that is otherwise identified as Ethiopia. And he says that in Kush, the etrogim grow are darker or even black. So he says, with a braita here that says, according to Abaye, Tanya Kushi Kasher, that is, when it comes from Eretz Kush, Domel Kushi Pasul. But if it's not an etrog that comes from Eretz Kush, but rather Domel Kushi, it is similar in color, but not because it's the species that comes from there, then it is Pasul. As Rashi says, Domel Kushi Shigadel Kan, it grows in our locations, but it turned out to be black. So that's problematic. Then it's pasul. So Rashi writes in the old French that it is a counterfeit. It's not the real item. It's just a copy of that item. And therefore it is problematic. According to Rashi, a black etrog is fine as long as it's sourced from the place where a black etrog would grow. And that's from Eretz Kush, according to Abaye. But if we have a black etrog that grows locally, that would not be good. Then, in addition to that, we have Rava who comes in and makes a statement. Rava Amar Lo Kasho, Halan Haluhu. And as Rashi explains, that depends if you live in Eretz Yisrael or if you live in Bavel. He says, in Eretz Yisrael, where it's uncommon to import those type of etrogim, it's pasul, even if the etrog came from Kush. So Rava agrees that if it grew locally and it was black, that that's problematic. But he says, even if it's imported from Kush, it's problematic because in Eretz Yisrael, it's not common to find those types of etrogim, and therefore it's pasul. On the other hand, in Bavel, where it was common to find these types of etrogim imported, then it's fine to use the etrog if it's imported, because then that would be a hadar. It would be beautiful because people know that those types of etrogim show up. If it grew in Kush, and you're in Kush, everybody would agree that that's a fine etrog. And if it grew locally, both in Bavel or in Eretz Yisrael, it would be problematic according to Rava. So that's the way Rashi explains this Kush, that it refers to a black etrog. On the other hand, if you look in the Rabbeinu Hananel and the Rambam similarly, I think the Rif as well, also explains it in this way, that Dome de Kushi means similar to an Ethiopian. Similar to Ethiopian means that it's black. And that's where Abaye says it's problematic. Dome de Kushi, if it's like a Kushi, then it's Pasul. But if it's a Kushi etrog, which means the ones that grew in Eretz Kush, which are a very dark green, not black, then it's fine. So the way that they would explain the Gemara is that Abaye says that a dark, very dark green etrog is fine if it grew in Eretz Kush. But Dome the Kushi, if it's similar to a Kushi, meaning it's a black etrog, then it's no good. And then Rava comes along and says, Hagash lo kan kalan haluhu, that even these darker complexions of etrogim are only good in Bavel, where it's common to find these dark green type of etrogim, but they're no good in Eretz Yisrael, where they have lighter green or yellowish etrogim. Then you can't utilize that etrog because it wouldn't be considered hadar. It's not the type of species or color that we would find in Eretz Yisrael. That means, according to the Rabbeinu Chananel, black etrog is always problematic. Black etrog is pasul legamre. According to Rashi, a black etrog would be kasher if it came from Eretz Kush. The Shulchan Aruch, of course, passes like the Rambam that if it's black, it's no good whatsoever. And it also passes like the Rambam that if an etrog is imported to a location and that's not a common etrog to be found there, then it's no good. Rashi says as long as it's common to find such an import in that place that it's a fine etrog, whereas the Rambam and the Rif require that the import match the local etrogim. It's not just that it's imported and it's a common site, but it's also something that matches the local etrogim. So those are the two chumrot that we generally paskin like, which is number one, no black etrogim, but that's not really an issue since there are no natural growing black etrogim. But the import issue is more significant, which is that the Rambam and the Rif say that if you import an etrog that doesn't naturally occur in that location, then that would be problematic. Whereas the Rashi, if it's common to import that type of etrog, it would be fine. The Be'er Halacha there learns slightly differently and then has room to be maker like Rashi and allow for imports even though they don't look exactly like the local etrogim. Now, etrog aboser, Rabbi Kiva posel, v'chumim machshirim. Amar Rabbo, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon, amru davar achad. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon have the same position. Rabbi Kiva ha-damran, Rabbi Kiva, like we just said here, that if it doesn't reach the threshold of a boser, it is considered to be pasul. Rabbi Shimon Mahi. What is Rabbi Shimon? The Tanan. We have a Mishnah in Masrot. Rabbi Shimon poteret etrogim bikol Tanan. Rabbi Shimon says that when etrogim are small, that they are not required to have Masrot taken off of them. So it seems for him also that there's a threshold for etrogim. Amar le Abaye dimalohi. Maybe that's not true. Adgan lo kama Rabbi Akiva hocha debinin hadar. Veleka. Over here, the reason Rabbi Akiva requires boser as the threshold is because he requires it be hadar. It has to be beautiful. And since it's not hadar, then it doesn't qualify. Even though it might be classified as a fruit, it may not be hadar. So the problem here by etrog for the mitzvah d'abart minim is an issue of hadar. When it comes to masrot, maybe you would agree even less than a boser is considered to be a fruit. Vahatam. So therefore over there, k'rabbanan svirlei, a whole like the rabbanan. Inami adkan lo kama Rabbi Shimon hotam. Rabbi Shimon's position by Masrot is different because al dichtiv. Aser taser kol tuvat azarecha. It says that you take off Masrot from all the grains of the seeds of your grains. Kederech shnei adam motzim lizriah. So therefore the threshold for it to be considered for Maser is if it produces a seed. Vahocha kederabonan salirle. But over here, seeds aren't the threshold. Over here, you might agree with the Rabbonon. There's a specific requirement by Masrot according to Rabbi Shimon that they have to be ra'ui to produce seeds that can be planted and will succeed. And therefore, by all other types of fruits, vegetation, the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon agree, because at the same time it becomes an ochel, becomes edible of food, then it also becomes ra'ui to put the seeds in the ground and have them succeed. The two exceptions to that are what we call an etrog and a tapuach. By an etrog and a tapuach, by an apple and an etrog, the Chachamim suggest that since they're an ochel, since they're eaten, and they're edible from the moment they start to turn into a fruit all the way through to the time of maturity. And when you leave them on the tree, it's just so that they become more mature and they are bigger. Those items can have masrot taken off of them at any point. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with them and says over there that you still have to have them reach the point where their seeds are viable. And he says by an etrog, boser, or the threshold for seeds is higher than what the Chachamim have. He happens to agree with him by apples that the seeds are viable at a much smaller state, and therefore he doesn't disagree with the Chachamim, even though his position is based on a different reason. But as Rashi points out, if an apple is so small that the seeds were inviable, then he would disagree with the Chachamim, whereas the Chachamim think an apple is edible from the moment it's a fruit all the way through. But what you see from here is that their argument is about the threshold for Masrot. According to the Chachamim, the threshold for Masrot is probably both Ochel or a viable seed. Whichever one comes first, that will make it chayav in masrot. On the other hand, for Rabbi Shimon, the only threshold is that of the seeds being viable, and that's why they argue by etrog. Over here, all we need to know is that, is it a pri? Is it considered to be an etrog? And maybe Rabbi Shimon would agree that even smaller than a boser is a pri, even though it would not be chayav in masrot. And therefore, there is no reason to compare their opinions. Vitulo midei. And the Gemara says, there's nothing to answer about this. It's correct that their positions aren't necessarily synonymous, and that they may be coming for different reasons. Gadlobitfus, if he put it into a form, vasog min birya acheret, if he makes it into a different type of creation, then pasul. Amarova, loshanu elke min birya acheret. That's only if it looks different. Aval ke briyato kasher. If it looks like an etrog still, then it's fine. It says pshita. If it looks like an etrog, what's the question? And on the bright, it says, kamin birya acheret tanyo. It says like another type of fruit or another form. Lotzricha davida dapi dapi. He made it the way that it's translated. Dapi dapi means either levels or angular. Rashi compares it to a water wheel of the mill, which has some areas where the water catches and turns the wheel. So even though that is dapi dapi, it's still okay. Now the question is, why is that okay? So there are two possibilities to explain that. Either because there are other etrogim naturally that grow like that, and that's why over here it's kasher. Or you can argue when it's dape dape, it's not a change that's significant enough that it doesn't look like an etrog anymore. It's clearly identifiable as an etrog. Even though there aren't naturally occurring etrogim like that, but when you look at it, you say that's an etrog, that would be fine. So one of those two reasons is the reason why it would be kasher over here. Obviously, that would have a nafka mina if you make it into a form that is not found in etrogim, but it's clearly still an etrog, whether that would be okay. That's a nafka mina between those two conclusions about how to read this conclusion of Rava. Itmar, etrog shenikavu achbarim, an etrog that was eaten partially by mice. Amarav, ein ze hadar. That's not hadar anymore, and you can't utilize it. Amar says, zini, is that really true? Rahab Rabbi Chanina matpilba v'nofikba. Rabbi Chanina used to dip it, meaning that he used to eat a part of his etrog, and then use it for the mitzvah of arbat minim. So Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina kasha matnitan. Wait a minute, Rabbi Chanina, isn't our Mishnah a problem? Our Mishnah says that if it's nikev and chaser kosheho, then it's problematic. And here, Rabbi Chanina is making chaser and using it. Gemara says, vishlamo matnitan Rabbi Chanina lo kasho. Our Mishnah for Rabbi Chanina is not a problem. Kan be yom tov rishon, kan be yom tov sheni. Depends when you're talking about. The problem of a chaser is only on Yom Tov Rishon. But after Yom Tov Rishon, it's not a problem. That's because, as Rashi says, Yom Tov Rishon is midoraita, and it has a likicha, has to be a likicha tama, has to be a whole taking. And therefore, you can't have an etrog chaser. But for the remainder of the week, then you don't need that because likicha tama only applies to Yom Rishon. And since it only applies to Yom Rishon, for the remainder of the days, there's no requirement that it not be a chaser. So chaser is okay for the remainder of the week, and that's where Rabbi Chanina took a bite out of it and then utilized it for his etrog. Rashi says, if it was an issue of hadar, then it wouldn't have that separation between the first and the remainder of days. It would be true for all seven of the days. There are others who want to argue, no, that the question here is a problem of hadar, but the hadar on the first day is a hadar d'oraita, whereas the hadar for the remainder of the week is a lower form of hadar because it's hadar d'rabanan. And the difference between Yom Tov Rishon and the remainder of the days is chaser is problematic on the first day because you need super hadar midoraita. Right, so the remainder of the days you only need hadar midorabanan, and therefore chaser would be okay. Now the Gemara says, Rav Kasho, Rabbi Chanina's position is a problem for Rav, who said here that if it's chaser through the achbarim, that it's problematic. Rav shani achbarim demi iset. The biting or the eating of the achbarim is something that is repulsive. So the problem is that it's a lack in hadar. And since it's a lack in hadar, then that applies to all 7 days, and that's what we mentioned before in Rashi, that hadar would apply for all 7 days. Others, again, argue on Rashi as to whether hadar applies to all 7 days, or maybe there's a difference in the hadar required on the first day versus the other 6 days, and that has an afkamina lalocha in terms of all items that are because of hadar. Do they only apply to the first day, or do they apply to all 7 days? Ikadamre, some have this memra slightly differently, which is amarav. Zehadar, that it is considered to be hadar when you have the mice bite out of it. Because he brings a proof from Rabbi Chanina, v'nafikba, that he took a bite out of it and he utilized it. Or Rabbi Chanina, kasha matnitin. What about our Mishnah versus Rabbi Chanina? Lo kasha, kam yom tov rishon, kam yom tov sheni. So in the second case, we have Rav agreeing with Rabbi Chanina and saying that the bite of a mouse is no different than the bite of a human being. And how do we differentiate Rabbi Chanina from Mishnah? We say that's the difference between yom tov rishon and the remainder of the days. In the first memra, Rav says that there are actually 3 levels. There's the bite of a mouse, which is ma'us, and is repulsive, and it can't be used not the first day and not the remainder of the days. There's a human bite, which can't be used the first day, but can use the remainder of the days. That's the position of Rabbi Chanina. And then there's a chaser which can't be used, and that's our mission. That's on the first day. According to the first way that the Memra is laid out, there are three different levels. And according to this second Memra, there are only two different levels. Etrog katan. Amar Afram bar Papa, ke machloket gan, ka machloket babanim makur zalot. Just like we have a machloket here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and the sizes, so too we have the same machloket with regards to bathroom stones. These stones were used as toilet paper, and they were used to wipe an individual. Rashi says that they are sharp rocks. Tosafot says that it can't be that they're sharp rocks. Doesn't make any sense. But rather, he says that they're soft, more rounded rocks that are used for wiping in the bathroom. Titanio. The Shabbat, we have on Shabbat. Gimel avanim mekruzalot, mutar lachnis lebeit hakiseh. Person can pick up three stones in order to wipe himself inside of the bathroom. V'kama shi'uram. What's the size of these stones? Rabbi Meir Omer Kegels. It can be the size of a nut. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kebeitzah, it can be the size of an egg. So that's here where we have a similar machloket. Again, they're not connected necessarily to machlokot, but the thresholds that they use are similar here as they are by the case in Shabbat. Now, what is the problem with picking up the stones in Shabbat? Rashi claims it's a problem of a mukse. It's a problem that these stones weren't designated beforehand, and now you're picking them up. So it's a problem of mukse, whereas carrying is not an issue because he does it in less than dalet amot. That's what Rashi claims. Tosafot says, can even be in a case where it's more than dalet amot in a Carmelite, or you're entering from a Carmelite into a Rishuti Achid, because that's only carrying midrabanan. And we know that mukse has a higher threshold, it's more stringent than carrying midrabanan. And for matir, for kavod abriot, in order to utilize mukse, then certainly we're going to be matir a case where it's midrabanan of carrying, because of kavod abriot would be matir by carrying midrabanan. Tosafot discusses our bathrooms today, meaning the bathrooms in his time, which were kavua inside of the house. And over there he says that this dispensation doesn't apply anymore because the whole dispensation here is because their beit hakiseh was arai. It was something that wasn't common, or it was all the way out in the field, so people didn't prepare the rocks ahead of time. So that's why there's dispensation. But if you have it in your house, and you know that's where you're going to go to the bathroom, and you're going to know you're going to leave over Shabbat, you have to prepare ahead of time to have the rocks there. And similar today, that would be the same thing with toilet paper, that it should be ripped ahead of time or have tissues there ahead of time because it's something that can be planned and taken care of ahead of time. Tosafot does note here that with regards to the rocks, that if you have a large number of people in the house and it's unpredictable how many you're going to need, maybe in that case there would be a dispensation. Again, if the problem with toilet paper is only a din derabono and then kavod abriot might allow you to do that, but it might be a problem with doraita of kriya and therefore there would be no dispensation. But that's what Tosafot says about our modern day bathrooms. Uva gadol kadeshi achaz. We said in the Mishnah, how big can etrog be? And we had a machloket whether it can only be the size that you can fit two into one hand or as large as you want. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Masib, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi thinks your etrog can be as big as you want. Says a story by Rabbi Akiva, Shabbat, Beit HaKnesset, etrogo, al ktefo. His etrog was so big, he had to carry it on his shoulder. Malo Rabbi Yehuda says you have to be able to fit two into one hand. Misham Raya, you bring a proof there from Rabbi Akiva. Afheim Amrulo, Ein Zehadar. The Chachamim who were there said to Rabbi Kiva, that's not an etrog hadar, and you can't utilize that etrog. That's not the proper size of an etrog. So Rabbi Yossi, again, the Shittato says that it was good, and Rabbi Kiva brought it, and he brings a proof from that. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there was an objection to Rabbi Akiva's using of this etrog, and that's the Shittato, that you have to have a certain size etrog. Now we move on to Eged. Ein ogdim et alulav elu b'mino. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you must bind the lulav with its own min. Or Rashi's girsa is chut shel mishicha, either a cord or a thread, that you can use any material. Amar Rabbi Meir, masib anshei Yerushalayim, sheyogdim et ludvehem b'gimoniyot shel zahav. There's a case where anshei Yerushalayim and other girsot, it's Yekira Yerushalayim, the nobility of Yerushalayim, used to wrap their lulavs or bind the lulavim with strings or strands of gold. Amar lo, b'mino hayogdim oto milamata. Rabbi Yehuda responds and says, no, they first bound it with the proper min, and then they put these decorative bindings on top of it. As Rashi says, this is only the noi ba'alma. That's for decorative purposes. As long as you bind it properly, then the mitzvah eged has been accomplished. So now everything you put up on top of it is okay, and especially if it's only for noi, only for decorative purposes. There is some discussion as why does it have to be decorative purposes if you already accomplished the egged below it. Some want to say even if it's reversed. If you put on the gold strands first and then the proper egged on top of that, as long as the gold is for decorative purposes, it does not hurt the fact that you have the binding on the outside, and that might be what Rashi is hinting at over here. Amarava, that when we say that it has to be from the min of the arbat minim, it means afilu besiv, even from the bast of the palm tree. That's the bark or that you can pull away or peel away from it. Vafilu b'ikra d'dikla, and even from the boards or wood that comes from the roots of the deco or from the trunk of the deco. V'amar Rava, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda require it be from the same min? Because kazav lulav tzarech eged. Because he believes that a lulav requires an eged. And since it's a mitzvah to put an eged on it, then when he brings the eged, it's part of the mitzvah. And since it's part of the mitzvah, you bring another min, now you have five minim bound together, and that's problematic. According to the Chachamim, it don't require an eged, you're not going to have this problem. Although Tosafot early in the Masechta already suggested that there is Baal Tosif, even according to the Chachamim, if you bring a min kederech delatan. If you bring it in the way that it grows, then that would still be considered to be Baal Tosif, even if you don't bind it together. But the eged, which is not put on derech delatan, for Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be with the same min, but for Chachamim, it could be a different min because you're not bringing it derech delatan, you're not bringing it like the other minim. And over there, Tosafot reconciled this stance that he takes here with the Gemara in Sanhedrin with regards to Kol Mosiv Goreya, which we discussed earlier. Rama Rava, Mena Aminala de Siv Ikra de Dikla Mino de Lulavahu. How can I prove to you that the Siv and the Ikra de Dikla were also considered to be a part of the Lulav or the same min as the Lulav de Tanya? Because it says, Besukot Teshvu. You have to sit in Sukkot. Sukkah Shel Kol Davar. You can make a Sukkah out of anything you want. Divir Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Sukkah no Heged Ela Bedala Minim Shibululav. The Sukkah, meaning the Ikra part of the Sukkah, the Schach, has to be made from the four Minim that we use by the lulav. Vadin notein, he says, a kavachomer. Ma lulav shein noheg b'leilot k'bi amim lulav, which only is a mitzvah during the day, not at night, in a noheg ala ba'at mimnim, requires these specific four minim. Sukkah shein noheg b'leilot k'bi amim, sukkah, which is a requirement of day and night, in udin shlote ala ba'at mimnim, certainly it should only come from the four minim. Amulo ko din shata dan t'kilato l'achmir v'sof l'akel in udin. Yeah, this is a nice chomra that you have here, but that kavachomer doesn't really work out, because it's actually turned out to be a kula in the end. Because lo matzar bat minim, if he doesn't find the four minim, yehe yoshevu batel, then he's going to skip the mitzvah of sukkah. So you're going to actually engender a situation in which you make it a chumrah that you can only use certain materials, but if those materials are not available, then you're going to end up having a kula, which is he's not going to have the mitzvah of sukkah. A similar phrase that the Chachamim used with Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara in Psachim. Rabbi Yehuda over there says that ein bir chametz el sreifa, that you have to use sreifa, he learns it out of a kava chomer minotar. The Chachamim say the same thing over there. Well, if he has wood and he has what to burn it with, then that's great, that's a chumrah. But if he doesn't have that, what, you're not going to burn the chametz, you're not going to destroy the chametz? Turns out to be a kula in the end. As the Tosafot points out, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda there by Sreifa, although we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda over here. And so therefore, Tosafot tries to explain that the Gemara in Pesachim is not really the same type of kaval chumrah as we have here that's rejected. So the Gemara says, how could it be that you don't have the materials, you're not going to make sukkah, but Torah Shivat Yamim, you need to sit in this sukkah. And that is b'sukkah shokol davar. That's with any material, because you gotta sit in the sukkah. V'chein be'ezra omer, and in Ezra it says, Tzu ha'har ve'evil, alei zayit, v'alei et shemen, v'alei hadas, v'alei tmarim, v'alei et avot, asot sukkot. So here it gives you all the materials in order to make sukkot. Now, alei zayit are the leaves or the branches of the olive tree, and then the alei et shemen, and the leaves, the branches of the shemen tree. Valei hadas, valei tmarim, valei etzavot, those are three minim that are found in the lulav. The hadas, the aravot, and the lulav. So now, the Gemara wants to understand that pasuk in Ezra. That pasuk in Ezra seems to indicate that you could use more materials than the arbata minim for the sukkah. So now, we have in the Gears of our Gemara, the Gemara takes it out, but explains this according to Rabbi Yehuda Savar, hani ledefanot, alei hadas, valei tmarim, valei etzavot, l'schach. You're right, the et shemen and the alei zayit are used for the walls. And the remainder, the minim, are used for the schach. So he does explain it that way in the pasuk in Ezra. It's not. We have a Mishnah earlier in the Masechta which says, Misachim ben Sarim, you're allowed to use boards for your schach. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you can use boards. Alma, siv v'ikra d'dikla, mina d'lulavahu. Shema mina. It's clear from this that Rabbi Yehuda believes that not just the palm branch itself are considered to be the min, but even the palm tree is considered to be the min, because otherwise how do you get boards? You don't get boards from the palm branch, you get boards from the trunk or the roots of the tree, and therefore he says you can use that for schach. And we see that Rabbi Yehuda requires for schach the arbat minim, then he thinks that a board is classified as schach and one of the arbat minim. That's how Rava proves that Rabbi Yehuda believes that when we require something from the arbat minim, it doesn't have to necessarily be the lulav itself, but it can be anything from the tree. That would be true with the adasim and the aravot as well, in terms of schach. And they will be classified as being part of the min. The only place where we have a safek is by etrog. Because by etrog, you require the fruit and not the tree or a branch itself. So over there, there's some that want to suggest that the fruit is, but the etrog tree or branches of the etrog tree do not qualify either to be a binding or to use for schach according to Rabbi Yehuda. Or others say no, that even the etrog, the whole tree, is considered to be the min of the etrog. Okay, we'll stop over here.